tonight we have a one-shot Esoterrorist game. This game is published by Pelgreen Press, and currently the second edition is available for pre-order on their website. Our players tonight are Richard, Sharon, Eldon, Kika, and Joshua. We have some Skype issues and bad sound levels throughout, and I've done my best to correct them. We lose Joshua a few hours in, and Richard loses his connection in the last 15 minutes of the game. This is the first 2 hours of the game, with the next two to follow in about a week. Enjoy! Okay, and welcome. We're doing a one-shot, a short Esoterrorist adventure. And we'll start here with just telling everyone who you are and a little bit about your character. We'll start with Eldon.
Gotcha. Well, since this is a one-shot, hi, I'm Eldon, and I will be playing the character Eldon Hilltop, because I'm not good with this.
And what? Tell us a little bit about your character. What does he do for a profession, or what did he do?
Well, he is a retired military police officer. So at the moment, he is probably enjoying what free time he has now that he recently retired.
Right. Next.
Just read your Skype, Joshua. Next.
Oh, sorry. I can't see this guy. I am playing Jazz Conway, private investigator.
Okay. This is Sharon. I will be playing Ellie, and I'm also the private investigator, primarily a surveillance person.
So I'm up. I am Kika, and I haven't picked a character name because I'm terrible at that. My character is doctor, or was a doctor before going on sabbatical.
If you want, we just call your character Kika.
No, that's lame.
Why would you come up with it? Introduce yourself in character name, all right? Next.
Hi. I'm Richard. I will be playing Jack Mason, warm drug dealer. Now counselor for trying to get out of life.
I like how some of the names are Rocky porn star name. It's just how it works, I guess. Okay, well, I am facilitator for the night, Bert. Let's see what I'm talking here. So, to start this, none of you have ever met each other before. What does happen is that each of you receives a plain cream-colored envelope in the mail with no postmarks. Inside the envelope is a ticket to the local opera, The Turn of the Screw. Printed on the bottom of the ticket are what you know to be GPS coordinates, a formal invitation to, quote, the opera. All of you have been initiated into the conspiracy, which kind of exists to stop reality from being torn asunder by those who play around with their cult powers. This is actually the first time you've been contacted since you've gone through, we'll call it, basic training with the Ordo Veritatis, which is the name of the society. So this is one of the methods of contact. You are invited to the opera. The numbers on the bottom of the ticket are GPS coordinates. Through various means, all of you are able to arrive at the coordination, which is a rundown movie house, and is currently having an all-day marathon of kung fu movies.
That's not very operatic.
Yes, it is.
I am depends highly disappointed.
It depends on the kung fu movie. It really does.
So a lot of them, Jackie Chan, etc., are trained at the opera.
Mingled in with some other moviegoers, you all kind of arrive around the same time. Now, once again, keep in mind, you've never met each other before. And there's no real call sign, though you are a member of the Ordo. So there's a small line of people going in. It's midday. And Richard, your character?
Jack Mason.
Jack Mason, the first character in line. And the tickets are $5 a day.
For the day. Oh, right.
Yeah, for the whole day. It's an all-day marathon.
Yeah. We haven't got anything which says which screen.
Nope, not at all.
I'll produce my invitation, I guess. Am I at the right place?
Sure, you show the invitation or the opera ticket, either one, and you're given a stub for a balcony seat. The man behind the ticket teller doesn't really say a word to you, but does acknowledge the letter or ticket. And this is kind of repeated out for each one of you.
Is this like chum popcorn?
Oh, no, sir, but we'll have a vendor come down with a cart once an hour at least. Enjoy your show, sir!
Good.
So this is repeated for each of you, if anyone wants to do any differently, or other than just accepting your balcony ticket, if you say so.
I would like to buy gummy bears.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We will have vendors that will go around to the seats. We don't sell them out here. It's kind of warm, and I've got no air conditioning. He gets really close to the window and whispers, "They really don't pay me enough for this." Loosens his collar as you see the sweat just dripping off his face. You guys are in Seattle, Washington, summer, by the way.
I will try to slide him a few tissues.
He gratefully takes the tissues and mops his brow. Once you all have your tickets to the balcony seating, there is, you notice when you go up there, one of those fake velvet ropes that cover the entrance to the balcony. And there is an usher up there as each of you come in and show your ticket. You're each let in as he takes down the little velvet rope. Once the last of you are in, he walks away. So you find yourself, there's five of you up here in the balcony. Already they are playing Jackie Chan, Half a Loaf of Kung Fu is on the screen.
Is that a...
That is actually a real title. All right, so let's go in the same order again if you want to describe yourselves a little bit to each other.
This is Bridget again. Jack Mason looks like tall, skinny, stringy blonde hair. He's wearing dark glasses, it's too bright to him, and he doesn't look as though he's dressed for the opera. He's got ratty jeans on, and just the t-shirt with a couple of holes in it. He's not really dressed up. He's surprised he got in.
Oh, once again, it was a run-down-looking theater.
Oh, yeah. Still, to the opera.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, Ellie is wearing black pants and a black t-shirt, like a black t-shirt and a black wet work shirt, and a pair of very dark sunglasses and a ball cap and black sneakers.
Okay, Eldon?
Well, Eldon will probably be wearing some very nicely pressed khakis and a nice polo shirt.
Okay, and Kika?
I guess I'll name my character Catherine, and damn it, outfits. I guess she's going to dress as if she had dressed for the opera.
Nice. Full-on evening gown.
Yes.
Yes.
And she has
9-inch heels.
Opera glasses.
You can always tell the rookies. And Joshua.
Can you pick me up on this mic, okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Jazz is wearing a sort of camel color fedora and trench coat, and he looks as non-shifty as someone in a fedora and trench coat can.
Okay. And with that, we'll say that Joshua, your character, is the last one in. And once you get into the balcony and everyone kind of sees each other, the doors behind you close. Not suddenly, thing, just kind of close for privacy behind you.
Do we see the person closing them?
Yeah, it's the same guy that was outside that lifted the rope for you.
Okay,
right. So you go, yeah.
How many of you got tickets to the opera? So pulling out my invitation away from you.
I'll wave my ticket.
You clearly did. I say, just bring the Lydian dress.
Flick mine a little and then put it back in my pocket.
Eldon will do the same. Just look at the ticket for a second, almost sigh in the back of his pocket.
So we all know.
And then you have the lady that's actually dressed for the opera.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stare at them.
Sorry, there aren't insanities in this game, are there, Bert?
Yes.
Ooh, is there a narrates his own life insanity? Because that would be excellent.
Speaks in third person.
No. Yeah.
Right, well, as you guys are kind of uncomfortably feeling each other out, the door opens again, and a man pushing a vending cart. The guy is getting on in years. He's a little stooped over. He's probably a good 65, not older. And he's wearing a bright red, usher or concessioner's outfit. He's got, you know, the gold buckles. He's even got the red fez-like hat on. It's all very crisp and clean. He comes down. Popcorn, hot dogs, various high fructose corn snacks.
I raise my hand and request a high fructose corn snack.
I raise my hand and request a bottle of water.
Okay. Well, he hands such things out to people that ask, and then he takes off his little apron, and he sits down, grabs a box of popcorn off of his own cart, and let's see, we will say Catherine, you're the closest one to him. After he gives you the fruit snack, he hands you a file. And he says, all right, everybody, sit down. You call me Mr. Verity. His whole tone and demeanor has changed.
I offer him a gummy bear.
He takes it along with this popcorn. Down. Well,
I suppose I should look at what I was handed and read it to everyone.
Yeah, it's actually manila folder that just has a whole bunch of newspaper clippings in it. And he kind of nods to the file as you open it. He says, well, this may or may not be associated with the EzoTerror action, but there are enough flags raised with it. We thought we'd give some of our newer, greener agents some experience by doing a little bit of legwork. Everything we have is in that file. Granted, it's not much. Mostly news clippings. Dig up what you can, make a final report as indicated in the file. If there's anything to it, pass the information along or put it into it if you're able. Make a convincing veil out. This is jargon, and you're basically your crash course on the Ordo Veritatis. When you end the mission, if there's some covering up to be done or anything that could be to the press, you're instructed to do what's called a veil out, making some plausible lie as to any events that might have surfaced to the newspaper or gotten local interest in it.
Swamp gas.
Yeah, yeah.
With the balloons. I should point out, we're actually running this on the 66th anniversary.
Woohoo!
This is on awesome.
Is it the anniversary of what, Roswell? Or the
Roswell.
Roswell crashing? Okay.
Yeah.
So if there's anything to it, make the veil out convincing. Make sure you pass along whatever you need to the press or the local law enforcement so that they won't look into it any further. If it's groundless, well, don't leave a trail behind and you won't have anything to veil. He eats some more of his popcorn. He just upends the whole thing. His cheeks are just bulging full. Picks up his apron, grabs a drink off the cart, and kind of mumbles around the popcorn, good luck, agents! Slurps down his soda. He walks out the door. He leaves the cart behind.
I take the Skittles off the cart.
Taste the rainbow of death.
Oh, no.
Time to re-roll already.
Let me interject one thing. This is also a scenario I'm kind of playing around with, so I may make changes. And this is one thing that I thought of right before the game. Something else that Mr. Verity would have said is... Let's see, Richard, your character, Jack Mason, has actually been on one mission before, which makes you the senior agent. And Mr. Verity will say, Mr. Mason here is the senior agent.
Does he come back to say it, or does he
say
it?
No, he says
leaving?
It during his info dump, basically.
Okay.
And this is where Mr. Mason probably looks shocked as he's been on one mission.
I wave at Mr. Mason.
I wave back.
And I will hold the folder to him, because I don't know what to do with it.
I'll take it and read it over then and see what we've got and disseminate the information out the others.
Mm-hmm. And there are newspaper clippings that have been photocopied. There are several, so you can hand them out to everyone as you're reading yourself. They are from two different magazines, The Stranger and the Seattle Times. There's two seemingly unrelated cases of death by extreme gastral disturbance. First victim, a Mr. Brad Meacham, was found in Bremerton on 6th and Park. He was found in his garage by his wife, Gloria, and his children, Daniel and Glenn. He worked as a mechanic, it says, for the city on diesel machinery. The second victim, Arnold Southampton, found in Green Lake between Roosevelt and 15th, was found by his gardener on the lawn. It lists down his occupation as being a day trader, unmarried.
Ready?
And what was the day trader's name again?
Arnold Southampton.
Okay,
I'm sorry, let me just go on with the little bit of it here. Both newspapers allude to official coroner's report hasn't been issued yet. There's some speculation to food poisoning or a virus. Both note that a CDC liaison had come out and is conferring with the medical examiner. There is no belief that it is any kind of infestation or anything that would cause general... medical problems to the populace. And these were like second or third page buried in. It doesn't look like they've made anything more than just the local papers.
I assume that it's, we're based out of Seattle. Mm-hmm. This is Seattle Times, and The Stranger is a local...
The Stranger is a local rag, and The Seattle Times is the larger...
What sort of local rag is it? Is it a... Oh, aliens took my baby.
Like an Inquirer type thing?
Yeah,
it's got some of that. It's a slice of life sort of mag. It's got, you know, newest movies, hot books, lots of star gossip, local news and happenings. It does tend to the sensational. Kind of like Star more than the Inquirer.
But a local though.
Yes.
Okay. Huh.
Maybe we should try going to their houses and looking around or something. Or somehow.
If these two both died the same way, then there must be something they have in common. But it ain't
where they die. The other thing we can do is do a quick search and see if we find any other reports of these two's deaths. There's even more obscure papers.
I guess that they...
Or maybe somebody snuck into one of their houses and took crime scene photos that they posted on their blog.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Have a look online and see what they've got going on.
Yeah.
I will head off one of those to say that with the newspaper clippings, the information did state that these were the only two newspapers it was reported in.
Oh, okay.
Darn it.
How far away are these two people from one another?
I mean, they're almost on opposite ends of the city. And Southampton is in, you guys, do you guys want to be native Seattleites? If anyone says yes, I'll give you more information. But you could easily have been flown in from anywhere
else. I can't
see
a reason.
I'm originally from Portland, but I recently moved to the area.
Mr. Southampton's neighborhood is very upscale. His house, is probably a small mansion. The other one is a mechanic, and while he didn't live in a very bad or low-class neighborhood, it was definitely straight dab in the middle of middle class.
Did anybody here ignore the signs and not turn off their phone? Could anybody do a quick
search
online and see who the mechanic, whose name I apparently haven't got down there, where he worked, and see whether he worked on, like, Mr. Arnson's car or something?
It's Brad Leachin.
I don't really think that's something we can cover via Google.
Does someone have a skill that you'd like to apply?
Not via Google, but you could do a search, say, on credit card or insurance bills on Southampton's credit card and see if there were any charges made towards anything that I don't remember the other person's name, the mechanic's name, if say at a garage or service he worked at.
All right, and I'm just going to bring this up. If someone would have to have some kind of hacking skill to do that, because no one has any official reason to be able to look into someone's credit card bills.
Yes, I was about to say, isn't that illegal?
That is illegal.
I would give the PIs access to websites like SkipTrace, which, you know, private investigators can subscribe to, which will basically give you former addresses, place of work, and basically any internet presence people might have. PIs would definitely have access to that.
Well, I was just wondering if it said, if Brad Meacham's stuff, the newspaper stuff said, he was a mechanic at such and
yes,
such place.
Yes, he works for the city, specifically on diesel machinery, which would be like the garbage trucks, the fire trucks, things like that.
Okay, so
not someone who would be working on the other guy's car.
Yeah.
But he could be a mechanic that worked on a truck that picked up trash from the other guy's neighborhood.
That is casting a wide net.
That is casting a wide, very nuts, a very wide net. However, it's not, or
it's
it
not
could
reasonable.
Be. It's not unreasonable, though. It could maybe. Who died first?
They were within 12 hours of each other. The first death was Meacham, Brad Meacham, mechanic.
Maybe they happened to know each other that in a way that wasn't work related.
Yeah.
We could ask friends or family or something, perhaps.
Addresses are not printed, but Brad Meacham, for instance, both his wife and his children's name were listed.
That is fairly simple search to find somebody's address.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of here before the patrons of the movie theater stop.
Oh, you seem to still have been left quite alone, and the balcony is built such the acoustics are dampened up here. You look down over the railing, by the way, there's only like 6 to 8 people down there. At least half of them look like they're sleeping on, they're vagrants sleeping in the chairs. You know, $5 for an air-conditioned all-day place. Sure.
I was like, also, there's nothing we could use to research it. Good.
Right. So, what do you guys want to do around?
You're dressed up for the opera.
It did say opera.
Yeah. Do you have lots of nice clothes like that? Because you're going to fit in more with the upscale neighborhood. I don't think you'd be able to fit in any of my clothes. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying that you would do better to talk in his sort of areas. You always dress nice.
Or we could pretend to be part affiliated with law enforcement and talk to them that way.
That, or if you... Or, I mean, you can basically say, pretend that somebody lost something in the neighborhood and that we're trying to find them, find their address, and get them, get people talking on just chit-chat, see if they can work it around.
And by the way, if you want to say, do I have this or do I have access to this, based largely on what you said your job was. If Catherine dressed that well for the opera at a moment's notice, Catherine may be wealthy. You just simply state that you are thus.
I am wealthy. Reasonably wealthy, at least. It's not like I own my own island or anything.
Shame. There's also, anybody got any ends with the coroner at all? Seems there's been no official report.
I might know a coroner.
If you're a former doctor and you live in the area, you may very well know the coroner for the area. Wish that to be so, you can say that is so.
I happen to know the coroner for the area. Let's go poke some dead bodies with a stick.
Yeah, I think
sounds good.
Looking at the dead bodies, first of all, work out what we should be looking for at that place. It's probably the better thing.
Do those clippings say anything about the condition of the bodies?
Actually, it just said they died of severe intestinal distress. Especially in the stranger, would say that the police immediately set up a barrier so the bodies could not be photographed, and there's all kinds of suspicions about why that might be. But in both instances, the reporters never got a good look at the body other than to see them being hauled off in body bags.
Intestinal distress is not a graceful way to go.
He was also, Arnold Sumter's body was found by a gardener. His gardener?
Yes, found by his gardener.
So he was outside?
Outside.
Outdoor intestinal distress. You should talk to the gardener, too, after the coroner.
And the other man was found dead in the garage.
Yep.
So we should talk to anyone else that works at the garage. But coroner first.
His garage.
He doesn't have any... House. He doesn't... Oh. I thought you meant, like, the garage he worked at.
Yeah, that is, I do to clarify that. But yes, it is the garage attached to his house that found it by the children.
So, I will give everybody else the information for getting to the coroner's and tell them to meet me there.
Because you probably all came in various expectations.
Yes.
Took the bus, did you?
I came by bus.
Alright,
Does anyone want to give him a ride?
Yeah, I guess I'll give him a ride.
Yes. So Jack Mason and Ellie are going together, and then Jazz and Catherine are going separately, but you're all going to the coroner's office.
Yes. Okay. I have a pretty nondescript, plain black sedan.
Can Elder arrive at the coroner's office on his own motorcycle? Preferably a Harley.
Sure. The old Harley fat boy. Just for the giggles, you've got the shotgun holster on the side.
Yeah, one day, once I'm out of the state.
You don't have the shotgun, mind you, just the holster. All right, unless anyone's trying to beat someone else there, we'll say they all arrive at the same time. Catherine, you go and look up your old friend, Dr. Mayhew, and Catherine, it's been years since medical school. Takes a good look at you and gives an appreciative whistle and says, well, has he been keeping up with tennis?
Give me a minute.
And, while he's talking to you, by the way, you guys are down in the morgue, and he's got one hand glove covered deep inside of a corpse's stomach, and his other hand, he's got a tuna fish sandwich that he's eating on.
Yeah, I'm just going to be laughing. You have not changed one bit, Dr. Mayhew.
Puts his sandwich down and goes to shake your hand with a blood gore covered plastic glove, catches himself. Tosses it to the unmarked hazardous. It's like, well, Catherine, looks at your odd assortment of friends, and says, what brings you here? Once again, looking at what you're wearing, is this some kind of costume party, fun drive for something you're doing?
That's later this evening.
I see.
I seem to overdress for it, considering what my friends are wearing. The invitation is rather vague. But anyway, we saw... I was asked to follow up on some few odd cases that appeared in the papers recently. Mechanic and Mr. Umpton, was his name, died of gastrointestinal distress.
Oh yes. By the way, which skill are you applying to get away? Flattery, flirting? How are you going about doing?
I guess I could go with flirting because that's what I have points in.
Okay, sure. And he seems to remember fond from school. Oh yes. Two very interesting cases. You know, I don't often find myself becoming ill when examining a patient, but I must say these were very extreme. I've got both the bodies here, and he starts to open up a drawer and then
stops. Warned the other people to brace themselves because
he stops, unsettled. And he says, well, Catherine, I realize that, of course, you hold credentials, and I have no problems with you being here, but technically, who are these people? They really shouldn't be down here.
I turn to them and be like, yeah, why did you follow me down here?
With his cousin, or his brother, or sister, or whatever else.
All right, so you wanna lie to him?
I'm saying that to play on it.
Oh, you're saying it exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So he's looking a little hesitant.
We have two like private eyes, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess they could be okay at least looking, right?
Oh, are you to the desk for the family? He asks to the general party as he's not sure who he
is. Yes, that is quite exactly what we're doing.
We're just out here a couple of...
I'd smack him. I'd smack him upside his head.
System-wise, when you're offered a scene like this, and I'm kind of making a person sound hesitant to whatever, you can say something like, with reassurance, I say this, which is a skill, or just, you know, what Richard is doing, and I can kind of pick a skill that would kind of fall in that. If you have it, then it works. If you don't, it may not be so... Kika is working him here with the angle of, you know, old friends, so no problem with her. Two PIs. What are you two PIs doing? When she mentions the fact, well, we got two private investigators here.
Yes. What are you doing?
Other than typing on a keyboard. It's coming across very loudly.
You better not be stealing his tuna sandwich.
Ha ha. No. We're just trying to ascertain some details of the death to make sure, that there's no, adverse insurance claims. We just want to clarify some information. So any help you can give us would be excellent.
Okay. There is no lying in this game as such. Whoever's typing, you're really loud. So if you want to lie to someone, you simply find a skill that you're attempting to use as a cover. So like you're trying to BS someone about whatever. You say, oh, because of my knowledge in this, I can be a convincing liar on this topic. So you're a PI, and you're basically making them think that you've got a case. Well, actually, you do have a case. You're just not being paid for it. So, acceptable. So, yeah. Oh, so you're working for an insurance company, then. Okay. And this is your colleagues?
They came with the PIs.
Yeah, all right. He shrugs, and he still looks a little hesitant. Well, I'll warn you, this isn't a pretty sight. And he pulls out two bottom drawers. Starts to unzip the bags. This is where everybody can make me stability rolls. and this is how it works. A stability roll is basically a 50-50 shot. You're going to roll a d6, and you need to get better than get 4, 5, or 6, and it's not a problem. If you get under that, you lose a certain amount of stability depending on how horrific the scene is. You can spend from your stability pool to improve your roll, but it also reduces your stability by doing so. But if you think for instance, if the loss might be significant and you would rather spend a point of stability with the, potential to not lose your crap, then it might be worth doing. So you would lose like 1 instead of 4, for instance, by spending. So I'm going to ask everyone to do a stability roll now. We're using the catch your hair dice roller there. It's a D6 roll. The whole game just revolves around a single D6. If you wish to make a spin, state it before you roll.
Oh.
Well, I didn't say that until after you rolled, so you may state now if you want or not.
Okay. Well, could I just state that I want to spend 1 and re-roll or something?
Well, you don't get to re-roll. The spending just adds it to the roll. So, in other words, if you rolled a 2, if you really didn't want to fail it, you would have to spend 2. But I will tell you that the loss isn't worth that much of a spend.
Okay.
Well, I rolled a 1.
I will spend one ahead of time, because I have a feeling it's going to end badly.
Oh! Okay, so everybody fails, it looks like.
I can't believe
it. What was the pass? I got a free technique. Also, someone else is a free, so that answers the question.
Four or better is generally what looks
like. Yep, four or better. Alright, so the science.
At least I won't be that embarrassed.
Actually, even to your sensibility as a medical doctor, this is pretty horrific. Both victims, their skin is from the stomach down, is just a mess. They look to have vomited forth their internal organs from both the mouth and anus. Their middle sections, their guts are distended and just mishappen. There is obvious intestine leaking out of their back ends. You can see in both of their mouths, like, dissolved lung heart tissue. It's lodged up in their throats. The organs are all partially liquefied. This is a 2-point stability loss to everybody.
Wow.
Even just hearing that makes me a little ill.
So everybody has, you know, a visible reaction. I mean, this is a mess. Not only as described, but the bodies are actually laying in pools of, you know, of dissolved tissue as well. Although the doctor does say, well, it does seem like whatever caused it, the decomposition stopped after we got it in the refrigerators.
Okay, quick question.
I should wash my hands and put on gloves because I'm going in.
Yes. Quick question. When you mark that on your sheet, you mark that where it says pool? Or...
Yes, it comes off your pool.
Okay.
The stability actually is much easier to get back in this game than Call of Cthulhu. A good rest or someone basically talking you down, the proper skills can give you pool back.
Okay.
So it's not as bad.
So we should have gotten a therapist in this group.
That is what the shrink general ability is for.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go.
I took shrink as well.
Right. I did too.
Sorry, one at a time. Kika, you're getting gloves, which, yeah, he throws you a box of nitrile gloves. Richard, what is your character
I'm
doing?
I'm gonna go and wait outside. He looks as though she's gonna dive into the center of the
room. I'm just gonna try holding the gloves out to the PI people in case they want a careful look.
Sorry, sister, you can kind of keep those.
Are you guys staying in the room, though?
I will stay in the room, but I'll be stepping back. I'm not touching that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ellen will take gloves and join in on this.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'll show something. I will spend a point of preparedness, demonstrate the use of the system, to pull out mints for everybody to hand around so that help combat some of the smells that are coming out from there. And then I'll run out of the room.
Preparedness is a general ability roll, which means, once again, actually, this would be a very simple roll, and I would just give it to you if you have preparedness.
Yeah.
So, immense, no problem. For further description, the coroner's office is in the basement of the local police precinct, by the way. So if there was something else you wanted to do while you were out in the hallway.
Do you have any cop buddies?
Probably plenty of cops that have ran him in before.
I guess as I'm trying to reform, they might. They might at least talk to me, even if they don't like me.
All right.
To them well.
So we'll do the coroner's operating table first. So Mayhew hands you his report, which isn't quite finished yet. He's waiting on a report back from the CDC that's pending. They have a preliminary saying that it's not a disease or a virus vector. There's nothing that's contagious, but they don't have a full report yet. They took some samples, and so he's awaiting that, his final report. Cause of death, though, was,
guts, like, coming out of both ends of them.
Well, that was the result of, hemorrhaging tissue in the intestines, dissolution of other, bodily organs. It looks, literally, that they, vomited and crapped themselves to death. Once there was nothing left in their insides started coming out.
Extreme dysentery.
The only other thing of interest in his report, looking it over, is that both had insect bites on them. It's not uncommon for Seattle in the summer, especially one being found on the lawn and was probably there overnight, and one in an open-air garage. So there wasn't a lot done with that.
I have forensic entomology.
Forensic entomology. Okay. Well, the actual insect wound is fairly typical of some species in this area, but the wound itself, the tissue is dissolved around it, so you cannot eliminate or say specifically what type of bug did this.
damn it.
Okay, and this is where I can say, or you can offer, I can say, for a 1 point spend, with some lab equipment time, you can get a very accurate, image of puncture, to be able to analyze it later. That's if you wish, you have to. You automatically get the clue that, yes, it's an insect wound. It is not something like an injection wound or anything other else untoward. Okay.
Also have forensic anthropology and evidence collection and chemistry, if that helps.
Forensic anthropology would be going now over the autopsy and basically having a look at the body yourself.
Okay.
Which, once again, does anyone else in the room have forensic anthropology? Nope. Okay. Just keep his character. So yeah, you agree with the doctor's finding. There was something that caused hemorrhaging in the intestines. It could indicate a corrosive agent, like corrosive acid, but none was found in the body other than higher than normal stomach acid contents, but that could be because the stomach was pierced by something. It's like a sharp object could have pierced his stomach, bled acid out into his system. But no hole was found. And you're going over, you're looking at it with a very fine detail as well. You also are not finding a kind of puncture wound.
Okay, so I guess I have all that I can get from this right now. So I will ask the coroner to call me when he gets the CDC results back and just...
Oh, yeah, what's your phone number these days? I lost track of you after college.
I will give him my work email.
I was going to say, slowly moves his left hand so that he can see he doesn't have a ring on his finger.
Sounding pretty stalkerific. Yeah.
But, okay, you give him the work email. Meanwhile, in the hallway, anything going on there?
So I'm the only one. Nobody else left.
Nope, you're the only one. Left.
Okay. You're the only coward.
He liked his lunch. He would like to.
Yeah. I just have this is new coward.
I will go and talk to some of the police officers.
Sure.
Yeah, I heard about this thing that was going on in the area, these two people coming out, just checking they weren't taking any sort of weird new drugs which dissolved their insides, something I've got to warn my people about, might help them get off.
Good one. Do you have cop talk?
No, I don't have cop
talk. Okay. What are you going to lead then? What type of a skill do you want to go with here? This is where you can suggest, because I'm good at this, I would like to talk these beating me up evidence. Cop talk is my suggestion.
I know. I'm just looking over my stuff. What's going on here?
Reassurance or streetwise, I would also
say. Yeah, I was about that. I got reassurance, but I don't really see it being particularly reassuring. I don't know.
Well, you could do it. In fact, you're known, and you're known to be a recovering drug addict. So, using your cover as that, ensuring that the information you're asking for the public good, for the good of drug addicts that might be taking something like that. That's a suggestion of how it could be used.
Yeah, that's not something I'd really thought of reinsurance in that sort of way. Okay, yeah, I could spend April.
Oh, you don't have to spend unless you want to for something.
Oh, right. I'm reassuring. I'm trying to do a bit for society.
Oh, Jack, good to see you again. You haven't been booked or anything, have you? They look to see if they fingerprint you. They're good natured with you, but they also know they've got a criminal background.
I'm out of that, Trying to go straight, trying to help out the others on the street.
Ah, good for you, Jack. What was that? You're asking about some bodies?
Yeah, there's a couple of sort of intestines rotted or
something. Oh, damn! Hey, Murphy, get over here! And there's a young cop that comes in. His uniform is like pressed tight. This is definitely a rookie cop that's trying to impress you.
Just
comes
came off over. The printer.
Yeah, he comes over and it's like he's about to make a salute before he realizes he's no longer in the army. He's like, yes, sir! It's like, tell our friend here, Jack, about that body you found the other day. He's ribbing his coworker. And the kid's face just goes green. He turns around and he grabs a trash can and just, oh! It just starts emptying his lunch in his trash can.
Now cop buddy is one of the mints which I had already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of his cop buddies just start laughing.
First on the scene?
It. Yeah. Oh, God, it was horrible. I've been in war, and it was, oh! He starts losing his... He recovers after a bit, takes your mint, and he still looks a little green. He's like, it was horrible. I've taken floaters out of the bay, and I haven't seen anything that bad. His buddies, after having a good laugh at his expense, kind of just go away and be with him.
Oh, man. So, obviously it was a bad bad scene there. I take it the kid and the mom found the
It was horrible. Oh, luckily the lady, man, that woman's got an iron stomach. I tell you, she saw it first and she grabbed the kids and took them out of there before they had a good look. I mean, they know their dad's dead, but they didn't get a look at all. Oh, it was horrible. That woman is just, I'm telling you, balls of steel. I suppose you have balls, but you know what I mean.
So she's still doing okay.
Well, I don't know. We gave her a phone number to our grief counselors here, but you know what a crock that is. I haven't really checked up on her, you know. She was kind of a looker. He starts thinking, well, no.
Did you get both of the bodies?
Oh, no, just the one.
Somebody else got the other one.
Yeah.
CSI units
got the other one, you know. CSI units got the other one. That's, you know, Ritchie District and all. The guy got special treatment. Yeah, I get called in for the mechanic. You know how it is.
Nah, just checking out some new drug during the rounds. Bad batch or something.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Why would anyone take a drug that would do that? Oh, man. Loses again. It's dry heaves at this point. There's nothing in the stomach. And then he stops a minute and thinks, oh no. What if I got what he had? What if I got it? He starts trembling.
Nah, it would have hit the woman or the kid, first of all. If they're dead, then maybe you got it.
I'll be back. I got to make a phone call. He runs over to his desk, starts flipping through his little cop notebook, trying to find the number of the lady, probably.
All right, yeah, well, I tried to listen in on that just to see
he gets
if
through.
Anything's going on there. So that worked out nicely.
Yeah, he gets through. It's like, oh, yes, Mrs. Meacham. I'm just checking back up on you. Oh, yeah, I'm that police officer that, I'm doing all right. Yeah, how are you feeling? Any problems? Any reason to go see the doc? Oh, you're fine. Okay, great. Yeah, the kids? I'm sure they're shooken up. Yeah, I'm sure they keep asking for their dad. Yeah, sure, I'll come by for dinner. So, yeah, that's what's going on. All right, back in the coroner's. All right, so you pretty much found what you could find about the bodies, and the suspicious things being, you know, it looks like somehow either his stomach acid released into his body, dissolving everything, or some kind of corrosive acid ingested somehow without leaving a residue, and the bug bites.
I'll have to write this down, and I will tell the PIs all this good stuff as I leave.
Your coroner buddy looks like he did a good job. You didn't find anything more than he did, but you did verify his findings.
So I guess we should regroup and figure out where to go next.
You guys will be passing police office, and you see the scene as your friend is kind of leaning over, listening to this officer talking to somebody on the phone. So you meet up again with Jack.
I will lean over next to him. And try to listen into on what he's listening and on.
Right, so you catch the tail end of the conversation. It's like, yeah, sure, I can come to dinner.
Darn, okay.
I will smile and ask him what he's doing.
Police officer?
No, Jack.
Oh. Let's get out of here. I'm not sure.
Okay, so are we going to, like, circle up in the parking lot?
Yeah parking lot's actually pretty empty. Yeah.
So, blah, once we get back out there, like, hey...
I will fill Jack in on what I found in the corner, the bug bites and all that.
And with your spend, remember you also have a now very clear photograph of insect bite itself.
Yes.
Although you'll have to get to a lab to do some comparison. Right off the bat, you don't know what it belongs to, but it certainly is an insect bite. Doesn't look all that suspicious, too.
And it's a tiny insect, right? It's not like a giant bite.
No, it looks like if somebody was bitten by a mosquito, it might have had a small reaction to it. So there's a small raised area, but nothing you would not expect.
Sorry, Sharon, you were
good. I was going to say if I could run an image recognition past, do a Google search on that image to see if anything popped up other than generic bug bite.
Yeah, sure. You've got some kind of skills.
Well, I was thinking that possibly data retrieval would work with that.
Yep, that's kind of what it's for. Sure, so you just take a snapshot of her picture and you get it running. The database is pretty big, so it'll take some time for a hit, but it'll email you.
Okay.
It's done. In the meantime, what are you doing?
That's a good question, people.
I'm guessing the mother and the kids would be our best.
Perhaps.
Best to begin with. Well, the mother anyway. The kids aren't going to know anything. Well, they might, if we're looking for an insect.
We could tell the mother that we're friends with that her police officer friend.
Yeah. They've got the number for a counselor, so a grief counselor, so it wouldn't be unusual if some others paid a visit on her, maybe.
And we can all do the whole insurance thing again.
It's going to be more difficult to do if she knows who the... I suppose we could be working for the city.
Sure, that too. Let's go.
All right, so next scene's going to be at the family. Is that correct? Everyone's going to head out there. Yes. You guys going to combine cars yet? Or still going to
cars? We should combine cars.
Are they going to, like, merge together like a Transformer?
Who forms the head?
I do.
Oh, clearly the Harley.
That is a good point. But, yeah, my car looks like a generic government issue.
Harley would make a funny leg.
Yours is a generic government issue style car. I think yours is the best if we say either we're coming from the insurance people or if we're, like, coming from councillors or something, and it's most nondescript.
It looks like looks like a generic four-door American sedan in black, a couple years old.
Yep, yep. Either that or a white SUV. That's also very common for civic organizations.
It's very governly. Well, I think we should probably get changed. I mean,
oh yeah,
going around in your opera car, lovely as it is.
And for the sake of convenience, you know, one of the things you're also trained in is to always keep a go bag with you with change of clothes so that if you need to quickly change out into something that makes you less descript or more descript.
So I'm supermanning it.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, go pop into a restroom, get changed more workaday clothes.
Yep, I just put on a generic white button-down shirt.
Okay, so you approach the house. The house is, you know, once again, kind of suburban, firmly middle class. It's a ranch-style, sprawling house. They have probably three bedrooms in it. It's got a fairly elaborate attached garage, but otherwise nothing. The lawn is well manicured. You know, it's people who are definitely keeping up with the Johnsons. It doesn't look any better or any worse than any other house in the neighborhood. They're all very much alike. There is a car in the driveway currently. It is, in fact, a black SUV, soccer mom type car. As a matter of fact, it's got a bumper sticker. It says soccer mom.
Well, a couple of us want to go up and talk to the mom quickly, just to say, hey, we're here. And the other ones want to take a look around just to see if they can spot any insect nests or anything out of the ordinary in the garage.
We'll volunteer for that.
Lawn, mostly, yeah.
Okay, to the lawn. Who's going to the door then? That's going to be our PI and Jack Mason and Elliot going to the door.
Well, Joshua hasn't said anything either.
Oh, yeah, what's Joshua doing? He's still
there. No, I'm still here. Joshua is going to be observing and making sure we're not about to be attacked. He is skulking.
You're going to stay in the car then? And kind of look
no,
around?
He's going to look. He will be skulking as a good detective does.
Okay. I will give you something right away that you notice is that apparently there are nosy neighbors. As soon as you've driven up, both neighbors on either side, you can see the curtains kind of pull back and you can see someone on both sides. There are people looking out, peering through their window shades to see what's going on.
I wish to smile and wave at one of them.
I'm going to look directly into the eyes of the other.
All right. And the shade quick. Okay, the people going to the door, Ellie and Jack.
Yes, okay, I had put on a basically generic white button-down, a black blazer, and sunglasses.
Oh, wow, okay. And Jack, you didn't get changed, so you're still basically in street jeans and t-shirt type of thing?
Yeah.
All right. Knock, knock. Woman probably, you would say not quite 40, but still very trim, very attractive. Her hair is tied up in a brunette bun. She has these little round linen-like glasses on, and she comes to the door. She's got a sports bottle in one hand. It looks like you interrupted her workout as she's in like a leotard top, and she comes panting to the door as you knock. It's like, yes, well, excuse me, as the two of you are heading towards the garage. What's going on here?
Why are we heading to the garage without her permission? That's very unpolite.
Yeah, we're going to wait for her to go inside and sneak by.
So, yeah, she's standing on the stoop wondering what's going on. So, who says what?
Well, before we got to that point, I was just going to quickly ask. Sharon's character's name, who I can't remember the name of.
Ellie.
Can you do the professional cop thing and just say, hey, we're here? Like from the precinct, we're just here to talk to you about what happened. Are you good at that sort of cop stuff?
Yes. Hi, meet you.
Gloria, please. And who are you?
Hi. That really does not matter right now. We just actually had a few questions for you. We're wondering if you could just help us out here.
She's looking a little, you know, she hasn't completely opened the screen door and she's kind of hesitating. So what are you doing to reassure her? Which is either a reassure or a cop talk, perhaps. your rocketry, if you really want to go with something like that.
Miss Misham, we're investigators. We're just trying to ascertain some facts about your husband's demise so that we could clear up the file. We really won't take much of your time at all. And I'm very sorry for asking us this so quickly. However, it is of vital importance that we get answer strict questions so that we can clear this up, and I'm going to try using Cop Talk to...
Oh, okay. What's your rating, Cop Talk?
It is a 1.
It's a 1? Okay. She seems to, she nods for a minute and says, oh, okay. Can I see your badge, please? She's not suspicious. It just looks like this seems to be a matter of course for this neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Yes. I show her the PI badge with fake name on it.
Okay, so this is a fake cop badge, or this is your PI badge?
It's the PI badge with fake name on it.
Oh, okay. So you're working for the police. She looks at the badge for a moment, bites her nail, and says, okay, and this is your... And she looks over at your character there, Richard.
That's my partner.
Okay, all right. She opens her screen door and says, come on in. Call me Gloria, by the way.
Hi, Gloria. Really sorry.
Before we go in, we have a couple of other people here. Could they take a look in your garage while we're talking?
Oh, for a minute. Says, they're not going to move or touch anything. The only reason I ask is because we're having some people come over to value my husband's, may his soul be at rest, come to value his possessions. And, he had so much crap in there. We have no idea what's worth anything. And just be very careful, okay?
They will be professional.
He waves you on. Or she waves you on, and she invites you in. There is a TV blaring, big screen TV blaring in the living room, and there's some exercise aerobic program going on. And one, and two, and...
I think she should turn that off.
You walk in, she'll go down to it and turns the volume down. She leaves it on in the background, but she turns the volume down below and invites you all in. Right, I'm going to pause there for a minute, and we'll go to the outside. You guys...
goes in, I'm going to stay outside and head towards the garage.
Oh, you're gonna leave him in there with her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Jack finds himself inside with the Black Widow and in the garage. The garage door, it's not locked. It's the roll-up variety.
So I guess we roll this baby up.
The garage is fairly deep. It's it's a good 10 feet deep, and it's a 2-car garage with no separators. It's very wide, and it is lined with shelves on every wall, back, front, and side, and right down the middle is another set of shelves as well. And the shelves are just lined all kinds of just little ticky tacky, like odd statues, wood carvings, really kind of Baroque and some gaudy statuettes. Just a collection of really, of junk. It's, some of it's artistic, but most of it's just gaudy.
Okay, just to be on the safe side, I am going to take a couple of shots of pretty much every shelf, just to make sure that if
taking
we need
pictures.
It, we're okay. Taking pictures.
I will take a couple shots of vodka.
You got a hip flask.
Just kidding.
Shots. Hey, no.
I'm far too professional for that.
Elden?
Yeah, professional.
Hey, anyway, professional photographer. I am taking pictures.
Yes.
I'm a professional doctor. I'm going to start looking for bugs.
Sure. Can I actually roll occult studies to try to pick out if anything stands out as beyond knick-knack so much as...
Yep. Yeah, you don't have to roll it. Just once again, you're saying you're looking at something with an eye to the occult. A lot of the statues are like, a lot of them are African, like fertility statues, very, old, in design, but, take a look at them. They got made in China, or you can obviously see mold lines where they've been reproduced new. Some of them are older, they could have some age on them. Do you have anything like art history, for instance, or anything that might help you figure out if it's really
old
or not?
Who insisted on having art history?
Well, I'm sure he'll. But anyway, yeah, there are several statuettes that have some occult significance. A lot of them, once again, Mother Earth kind of iconography. Some of them are.
Anthropology help for any of that?
Somewhat. I mean, it'll tell you culturally that most of this is African in origin. If you've got more than one rating in that pool, then you can pick out particular tribes. But mostly African.
I think particular tribes is a bit pushing it for what we need.
Now, it's not all that way. You're just, you know, some things are, and some of it's just, you know, just odd junk. Is the thing, you know, it's made in Pakistan or China just to look weird. But some of it, you know, have some significance. So taking pictures, looking around for any occult significance, anything else?
I was looking
else?
For any bugs, sorts of bugs or things, yeah.
All right, wasp nest. Looks like it's like a mud dauber's nest, actually, but it's been sprayed. It's there's nothing living in it.
But there could be like some dead wasps around. I can check.
Yep, sure. You can find some dead wasps. Not a problem.
And I will inspect them to see if they probably might have caused the bug bite or sting or whatever.
Yep, and you've got specimen bags, stuff like that, if you want to take specimens. Sure. Just off the bat, though, the proboscis is too short on these. You're looking for something that would be like mosquito-sized proboscis, something that's got a fairly long, you know, biting, stinging organ.
Okay.
These are not long enough. Anything else in here? Eldon. So, yeah, you notice there are a few things of occult significance.
The only thing I can think of doing is trying to say take it from a trivia angle, because it's the only thing I have, and I don't have paradigm trivia.
Yeah,
I don't see how that'd be helpful.
And when we say a cult also covers things like religion, actually. So it's not so much a cult significance as it has some religious significance. Once again, African, but it's a hodgepodge. It doesn't look like the guy was collected from any one culture or tribe or even era.
I would like to look around where the body was found.
Okay, well, you're still looking for bugs, so that's gonna take a bit. We'll move on to what is Ellie doing?
Other than photographing, I'm taking pictures. I'm looking for anything that seems to be eye-catching or in any sort of place of significance, like off to the side in a group or something, and taking photos of that. And anything that Eldon points out as being of occult significance, I want to take more details. Yeah.
Okay. So the things that you guys are doing in there is take a bit of time. So I'm going to go back inside the house then with Jack. And the lady gives you... How handsome is Jack?
Not particularly. He's still recovering. I've been a drug user, so he's strung out. Still.
All right. So he's rocking the bad boy look, but he's not a handsome guy. Right. So she's polite. I mean, she offers you some water. She goes, I've got Avion. I've got some of this Hawaiian crap. But I'm sure it's all tap water, really. But would you like anything?
The Hawaiian crap sounds lovely.
Sure. She gives you out some bottles, bottled water, supposedly tapped from an artisanal spring in Hawaii.
Your kids aren't home, man?
Oh, no. They're at school right now. So what is it that you came around for? You guys are investigating. Someone is shaking something in the background.
Sorry, my bad.
You're investigating something. The police had ruled that it was some kind of some odd condition. Have you found out anything more?
Not as yet. We're just going over it all. You know how. Well, I can't tell you who worked for private investigators. I will say that sometimes the city hires outsiders in order to double check these things just to make sure.
Alright. She gets like really suspicious and stares at you and says, it's his family, isn't it? They never did like me. Are they trying to take away what I'm owed? It's them, isn't it? His damn sister.
As far as I know, man. Just here to see how it's going. Investigate. Right. I'm sure you'll get a copy of whatever we find out anyway.
Alright. And she kind of huffs off and comes back with a business card. This is my lawyer. Make sure anything that you dig up goes directly to him.
Sure, and we can do that. I'm sure we've got his number anyway, if you've already given it to the police.
She thinks for a minute and says, well, there's not really any reason they needed to know my lawyer's number, but you're not the police. You're working for somebody, and I bet it's her. That bitch has had it out for me since... She just kind of gets puffy.
Wiry-haired, bug-eyed bitch.
what do you want? What can I help you with? She kind of gets a hold of herself and calms down.
I'm sorry to do this to you, but if you could go over the evening in question just in as much detail as you can, tell me if Brad was having any sort of difficulties on the day. Was he complaining about anything? Did he eat in anywhere strange? Scratching? Itching?
Nothing more than usual. I mean, he's always had a tricky stomach. You know, it's the diabetes thing of his. He eats crap. He says he's got it under control, but he eats crap. Other than, you know, the normal, it's, you know, he was playing around with that
cartloads of crap that he brings home every weekend. You know, I give him his time on Saturday. Saturdays is his day. He gets to go and do his thing. And, I told him as long as he didn't bring that crap into the house, he could do whatever he wanted to with it in the garage. It's fine by me. And so, you know, I came home with the kids and we were making dinner. And, you know, usually the routine is I don't go and bother him until dinner's ready. And he was out there with all of his new findings. Saying he's making some kind of business out of it. I haven't seen a dollar from that crap yet. But I went out to check on him, and he's just laying on the floor. Oh, it was... She does get a little green, but she's just got an iron stomach. She's like, it was horrible. I had to clean that up. You know, when you're crime scene people come in here, it's all well and good that you take all these pictures and you meticulously detail everything. But you know what? You leave it there. You leave all that crap there. Yeah, you took the body away, but did you clean up the mess? No.
I thought they were supposed to send people to do that.
It wasn't a crime scene. It was ruled as a natural causes. So.
Yeah, that happens when you hire somebody.
I'm sure as we were coming up to the door, I briefly had a look at the garage, and I couldn't see anything out of place there, man. You've done an excellent job of cleaning it up.
Oh, I didn't touch that stuff. No, I got a cup. I found one of these Sunrise cleaners in the phone book. They specialize in this sort of thing.
Really?
They did a good job. I mean, cost me grand, but that's tax deductible, right?
You'd have to talk to your accountant, that's for sure. Well, or your lawyer. Do you have a card for them, just in case we need to talk to them?
Didn't she already hand you a card for the lawyer?
I think you mean the cleaners?
For the cleaners.
Yeah. I just got another phone book. She comes back shortly with a phone book and just shows you where she's circled it. You know, it's a local company.
All right, make a note of the number, just in case we need it.
I was going to say, it actually is kind of a growing business now, people that clean up after crime scenes and such. So, yeah, this is one that happens to be in Seattle.
You said that he kept coming back with cartloads of crap. Do you know where he used to go to pick it up? Was he going...
All over the place. It was his damn hobby. You know, we're doing okay. I mean, I can't complain. You know, I have most of what I want. We get to go on vacation. The kids are in decent schools. But it's hard to stomach, you know, $500 here, $1,000 there. I just don't understand. He said it was a business. She makes air quotes. He sold a few things on eBay and such, but... No, he's far spent more than he's made.
Would you object to one of my colleagues coming in here and taking a look at his computer and have a look at his eBay account?
I wish you would. If you can get in there and get my dearly departed husband's password so that I can get into our bank account, I'd appreciate it. And she comes back with like a little netbook type of thing. You never did tell me the password this. Hands it over.
Thank you. Okay, well, I'll let you get back to your work. I'll go and take this out to my colleagues outside. And
remember to send that information to my lawyer!
Well, I'll come back in and I'll be with your netbook again.
And, you know, the volume goes back up. And one, and reach, and stretch. All right, back outside. You guys have had enough time to do your pictures, collecting your insect evidence. And Kika, you said you wanted to try and find out where the body was?
Yes.
Yeah. You really don't see where, I mean, it's clean. I mean, floor is spick span clean.
No, like, odds and ends with some remains on them?
No. I mean, if you want to get down with a magnifying glass and look around, I mean, you can't. If you had a full forensic kit where you could actually spray for blood splatter and that sort of thing, you might. But, you know, just by eyesight, you don't see any.
Well, I mean, I have a pretty high preparedness, but I don't think I can just whip a full forensic kit out of my pocket.
Give me a roll. Four or better, unless you want to make a spin to make that number easier to make.
I got three.
Nope. Unfortunately, it's not something I had thought to bring.
Yeah, I thought I was going to the damn opera today.
Exactly. All right, Jack will rejoin everybody out in garage then.
I will blar everybody the exciting things that I learned there.
That was very exciting. Thank you for conveying that information.
I mean, somebody take a look at this. They might have sold something to Arnold guy.
I'll pick a...
Okay, do you have cryptography?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. All right, what's your
rating? Cryptology is the most fun.
One.
Rating of one?
Yeah,
it'll take you a little bit of time, but you can do it. It doesn't look like the guy used anything, you know, too outlandish. It's probably a combination of fade name, something like that. But, yeah, you get to work on it. You're pretty sure you can. With a rating of one, you'll succeed by the end of this scene. But while you're doing that, what are other people doing, if anything?
Well, if they... What did you see, guys? Find out here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should get to Joshua. Are you still with us, Joshua?
Yes, just about.
Yeah, so you've been walking, you know, watching the streets and looking around. Other than the nosy neighbors, you don't see a lot unless you're looking for something specific, are you?
I am essentially looking for... I am on overwatch for anyone who might be looking... Yeah, anyone who might be keeping an eye on the area, anyone who might be spying on us, anything like that.
Yeah, the neighbors definitely spying. You've already sussed out the neighbors to the right are kids, because they start playing peekaboo with you after a bit, after you notice that you're looking at them. They look to be maybe 8 or 9 years old. The one to the left is an older lady that, after you noticed her, she just, you know, no pretense about it. She has drawn up a chair, she's sitting in the window, and she's got binoculars out, and she's looking right at you. She even gives you the middle finger once.
I glare at her, putting on some earbuds with noir music playing.
They're all obviously demons in disguise. You should perform exorcisms on all of them right now.
Yes, obviously.
Are you saying that you're listening to your own soundtrack there? Is that what Jazz is doing?
Yes, Jazz is listening to his soundtrack. He lights up a cigarette, takes a hit of whiskey.
All right, if you're not doing anything active, then you're just going to be on watch. I will let you know if situations change. But so far, that's, yes, you're being observed by some kids and an old lady who doesn't seem to care that you know.
Sounds good.
All right, back in the garage, if no one has anything to do until the computer's cracked, I will go right to the cracking.
I would like to know what you found out while I was inside.
Oh, we found out nothing.
Oh, we found out something.
We took pretty pictures.
He had a lot of statues that were fertility and African, a few other things basically that were religious in general, but nothing that pointed out to be a real artifact. Also, a lot of them seem to be cheap replicas.
Well, remember, some of them might be new in art. Might.
I'm going to say, I take a look over them now that they've told me this.
Yep.
My art history. I have 2 in art history.
Oh, that's good. You can pick out 4 items that are probably authentic. They are carved of wood, and they definitely have the correct age to them. Do you have anything more than a 1 in a cult, or do you have the 1?
No, just 1.
Well, that's good enough for you to know that it has religious significance, and these are not reproductions. These items are the real deal. They were probably used in religious ceremony. Actually, with art history, you might also know that he shouldn't have them, that it's illegal to export these out of the country, if they're real, and you're sure they are. Value-wise, to the right collector, simply because you shouldn't be able to get a hold of these outside of Africa, they could be worth, you know, some money. You know, we're not talking millions, but maybe several thousands for all of them. Oh, I've been talking to a Richard that hasn't been here.
Oh, dear.
Just edit an out post.
Yep, edit back.
Or edit him in post.
Just have someone else read all his lines and replace him with that.
Too late.
But, okay, which part did you hear me up to?
I was looking over things. You can see which ones are real and which are fake.
Okay, art history tells you that they are illegal to export out of Africa. So him having them should not, you know, he shouldn't have them. Value, since you can't get them outside of Africa, especially if they're real religious artifacts, probably they're worth a few $1,000s in total. Maybe as much as 10,000, but we're not talking like millions or anything here.
Okay. Okay. Are any of them insect-related?
No. They're like Earth Mother type of... you want to take them down and examine them? Because right now it's been hands-off. They're Earth Mother type of figurines, you know, various female forms with, you know, very pregnant looking. They're all kind of... they're lighter than they appear, mostly because they're hollow.
Oh, good.
And, not like they're meant to be boxes or anything. Possibly, actually, with the art history and some occult, you would know that usually they would put different herbs in these that would smolder and burn like a censer, you know, that would different aromas come out of them. So they're built, you know, you can even see like the ash rosin or dried rosin on the insides of them. They do not smell like they've been lit any time recently at all.
Well, I pick them up and shake them.
Okay, how vigorously are you shaking? Like giving them a good rattle or smacking them some or just upending them?
Pick them up and shake them around.
Okay. Okay. Some particles fall out of them. I'm not sure what the particles are. Kind of ashy, a little waxy maybe.
May I collect these particles?
Yep.
I collect them in an evidence bag for further inspection later.
Anything else before the computer?
Okay. I think that's it.
All right. Computer, you are able to get in. His password is basically a combination of his kids' names and birthdays. And so you're in. He's got running a Windows system. He's got a ton of porn. He's got a whole email log files that apparently him and his sister had something strange going on. And his bank accounts are there too. He's got a Quicken on there. There's not really any hidden files except for emails. Apparently he visited several, adult live chat sites and such, and he's kept logs that are hidden. So what do you want to know?
Okay. His financials and bank activities and his contacts.
Yep. Contacts list is his blob, it's there. You have forensic accounting?
No, I do not.
Anybody in the group that's looking over your shoulder have forensic accounting?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Nope.
Well, then you're basically just looking for his transactions. You're not adept enough to know if anything's hidden, but...
And the strange email transactions between him and his sister. Does it sound... like, what are they about, and does it sound authentic? Does it sound like
It's kind of creepy. It's almost like, it's kind of got this underlying vibe of an incestuous relationship going on, although it's not, it's just underlying. It's just, it's like, if you didn't read the headings and know he was talking to his sister, there's almost this, kind of flirtatiousness going on with it.
Okay, and does it sound, if I'm reading it, does it sound like also that it was written by him?
Well, you don't know anything about him, Lee.
I mean, based on other emails?
Yeah, it's in the same kind of... Yeah, the guy fancied himself something of a writer and a poet, so, it's bad, but it's in the same style.
Textural analysis, it doesn't look like he both sides of that conversation, so it's some sort of fantasy, right?
No, it's definitely two people speaking.
Okay, anything else you want off that computer, or should I just clone the hard drive?
Once again, you do have his bank records, anything in particular you're looking for. Once again, without forensic accounting, you won't be able to find hidden account stuff and where it's going, but the basics are there.
Yeah, I want to look at if he has done any anything that would have taken him into Southampton's neighborhood.
Well, there's a check written, Mr. Southampton.
Excellent, excellent. How much?
$689.50.
$689.50. Is there any note or memo?
It says partial lot on the memo, and it's got a date of this past weekend, which this is like Monday, so it happened on Saturday. Doesn't look like the check's been cashed yet, but since his Quicken account's tied up live.
Yeah, and what day was that he died?
He died Sunday evening.
So this is about maybe...
It's like 24 hours.
Yeah. 24 hours before he died.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Okay. And partial lot. All right, does it... partial lot. Does it list any of his... I want to check and see if he wrote it to Umpton. So what's his eBay activity?
A lot. He hasn't. He seems to purchase more than he sells. And looking through his records, it looks like every weekend he has written out checks to places like Sotheby's Auctioneers, Hartford Auctioneers, that sort of thing. This weekend, though, there wasn't anything to like a particular auction house. Just the check written to Southampton. But it looks like every weekend this guy went to auctions. Like, all over the...
Okay. Tons of crap. All right. So, shoot. While we were in the garage, was there anything that looked like it had been put up recently? Like, with less dust on it or something?
It's actually hard to tell. The place is immaculate. It's clean.
It's been cleaned. Okay. Anything else you guys want off this computer?
Well, what have you got?
Well, I've got a check here written for $689.50 to our second victim for a partial lot. Question is, partial lot of what?
Probably crap.
Probably crap, but just on the off chance, I'm going to pull up his browser cache and see what his browser history and see what he was looking at in the couple of days before he died.
Lots of different auctions. The last page that he looked at was an auction for Store and Go, which is basically one of these lots where they have lots of different storage bins that you put stuff in, and when people don't pay, they just sell off the contents of the storage areas.
Right. And how much? Yeah. How much does it cost to buy the?
This page is a flyer for an auction that happened.
Before or after he died?
It was same day, Saturday.
Same day he died, Saturday. Definitely take a copy of that. And so there's no other, we're not seeing any other auctions that list a winning bid of that amount?
Well, there's
for him?
Not at all.
Okay.
And there's no other auctions that he went to that day, or if he did, he paid cash because there's nothing in the checkbook or in the online checking thing. And for that weekend, the only auction area was like bookmarked. He looked at some other ones in the surrounding area, but this is the only one in the area that was booked.
Okay. All right, folks, what do you say we track down this this auction or who ran this auction and see what they were selling?
What kind of porn does he have?
It's all incest porn.
Thought so. Okay, let's go.
Does it say when that started?
Which one started? Yes.
How far back does browser history go? I mean, does he start off email to his sister, which are all like, hey, sis, how you doing? And they gradually degenerate.
It looks like, one in his browser cache is set to clear every month.
Uh-huh.
He has a couple of porn sites he goes to regularly, and actually you see the payments for that in a checking account there as well. It looks like his name is the only name on that check account. It also looks like he squirreled away a lot of money that his wife either doesn't know about or doesn't have access to. So he's got like a joint account and his own account. He's also got an account for kids, which has a significant amount of money in it. Not outside of what this guy would make for a living, but it looks like he's actually been stowing away money for his kids.
Yeah.
As far as the other thing, and like I said, the banter is kind of it's just under the surface. It's just like a lot of flirtatiousness. There's nothing outright about it at all. But it seems to be almost, as far back as emails go, which he purges, he deletes his emails fairly regularly. This is just what you found in the trash.
It's enough to be very uncomfortable over.
It's uncomfortable, but there's nothing, really overt about it.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it.
But the less overt it is, the more insidious it is.
I was just wondering if he'd bought something which had affected his mind and caused him to spiral down that path.
So. Since the last deleting, it doesn't look like any of the tones changed. Neither has hers.
Oh, okay. Well, so did he buy direct from Southampton, we know, or did he?
Yes. The check was written directly to Southampton, and there's no check made out to the Store and Go.
Okay. So he bought something from Southampton, which. It's probably one of these weird things here. One of these religious occult artifacts. Yes, we're all thinking that.
I'm thinking we should get going.
Yeah, I think we're wasted enough here.
Yep, second that.
And I think we've gotten pretty much everything I can get without, unless anybody has any more questions, I think we should head on to Southampton and try to find the gardener.
All right. I've got nothing else to ask anybody here or look for.
So you want to go to Southampton's house? Is that where you want to go next?
I don't know.
The starting place for the governor, I guess.
Just as a point of information, your characters know by living here. It's not ritzy of enough of a place that the gardener probably lives there. He probably has a gardener comes in every so many days. The guy
right, but we've no idea who that is. Yeah, so exactly. The thing is, talk to the neighbors and ask them, hey, do you have the same garden?
I wonder if they hired the same cleaning service.
Possibly. Do you need the computer anymore?
We should probably give it back to the guy.
Give it back.
Yes.
Yep. So I'd give the computer back. Also tell her
the password.
That bastard!
And all the incest porn still open.
Also tell her about the things in the garage. Hey, they might
Might be worth something.
Some of them might be worth something, but don't sell them just yet. They might be part of something so far.
Okay, like part of an ongoing investigation. But she has perks up when you say it might be worth something.
But if you get the whole set, it'll be worth more.
Oh, yeah, it's that collectible thing. Yeah.
Yep.
If you wanted to have made a copy of his hard drive, it's easy enough. This is a netbook. It had a small hard drive. So
I would have done that. If it's a netbook, it's not going to take long.
Nope, not at all. Okay,
yeah,
so
a few gigs of incest porn.
And just to make sure she doesn't actually can sell it while we're off doing whatever, I will tell her that it's illegal to have at the moment.
Oh.
That it's not allowed out of the country.
She gives you the wink like you're being helpful. Says, all right, so I got to find the special collectors. Gotcha.
I give him my card.
Nice. Does it have like art critic or art dealer on it?
I might know some point.
Oh,
basically, okay. I'm trying to do that so that she doesn't sell it. We're still investigating in case we go, hey, we need to burn all of these because otherwise stuff's going to come out of them and kill everyone.
Okay, yeah, she's really happy.
But yeah, I try to play up that I'm trying to help her.
Okay, yeah, she's glad to take the card. All right, so where to next? Joshua is probably now trading off middle fingers with the woman window on the other end.
I would like
double nephews!
Really, Joshua? There were kids in there.
All right, so, okay.
Anything fun? Joshua, whose character name I can't remember and really should have written down.
Joshua may have fallen asleep on a Saurus music. But Jazz Conway.
Jazz, all right.
We'll assume that Jazz is following you and just seeing if you've got a tail on until we... where to?
So, to Upton's place to find the gardener?
Upton's
Unless
place.
Anybody's got any other ideas for how to follow the gardener?
Sounds good.
So
sounds something.
Upton's concerned.
He's in the Green Lake section, Roosevelt and King. As I said, this is more upscale. These are mini McMansions. You know, they're really nice houses. They're fairly large, but they're not all that artistic.
They're tacky.
Unique. Yeah, they're not artistically. They all kind of look like each other. They've got the Olympic sized pools, and the house is large, but not, you know, like MTV Cribs large. Currently, there is for sale sign in the lawn, and there are a couple of work crews out, like edging grass, kind of sculpting the bushes and such. It's not a gated community or anything, so you can drive right on up. As you do so, there is a woman in a black kind of power suit, you know, black skirt, black blazer, and she's got a clipboard in her hand, and she's tapping her foot, arms on her hips, kind of scolding out some of the workers that are trying to clean the place up. And you guys
is she yelling at them in broken Spanish?
Yes, she is. Actually, she's yelling at them in perfect Spanish.
Oh. Perhaps we should say hello.
Who wants to take the lead? I don't think I'm the kind of guy to speak to people here. I tell you, fingering the holes in my jeans.
Well, she will walk up to you as she sees the car, and she goes from a scowling, very ugly look on her face to, like, instantly this big, smiley grin as she bounces over to you and holds the car door open for whoever gets out first.
So who's the most raggedy-looking person here?
Me.
Okay, get out.
I get out first, and then she's on the door.
Hi, I'm Suzanne from the Realtor. I'm sorry, are you lost?
You're the Realtor.
Yes, are you... What are you doing?
I'm going to step out after him, looking as fabulous as I possibly can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the wrong person. She just ignores Richard and walks over to get aside. Hi, so glad to meet you. Are you here for the open house? I'm sorry about the lawn work. It's last minute.
Oh, it's fine. We are, in fact, here for the open house. Is this
great,
one right up here?
Great! I've got bread break. We've got some cookies and lemonade. Come on in. You can servants out if you want that. It's fine.
I glance back at the other people to see if they have anything to say.
Now, some of you are dressed well enough to pass. Some of you are not so much.
Yes, I will keep walking with the...
Yeah,
with
she assumes secretary or something like that. So
I look like anywhere from the bicycle messenger to a personal assistant to an intern.
Right.
Just generic drab.
I guess I'll fall beside her. Trying not to say anything about the servant comment.
Right, you might be bodyguard. You know, but Richard there, unfortunately, you just stick out like a sore thumb. Jack, maybe you're his strained brother or something. Just, anyway, you're quickly.
I just stay with the car and just watch out what's going on. See if
we might need art history.
Oh, but he's also out here gardeners.
Yeah, but, I guess.
The gardener's actually.
But the art is inside.
So when you come in, the door, and yes, you're hit by the overwhelming smell of baked goods. and the house inside just glows. It's got the yellowish parquet floor, vaulted ceilings, clean, clean, clean. Some of the furniture was left just here and there as just dramatic pieces, so you can see what it might look like, your own stuff in. But mostly, it looks like the place was gutted of personal items.
How?
There's this large, 10-foot vaulted ceiling, coat racks there, and she's narrating as she's walking. And if you go into this way, it comes right, almost right up. If you'll notice the double set of spiral stairs on either side, going up to a simply tremendous master bedroom that has two baths attached to it. Yeah, she's in realtor speak.
Why do you need two bathrooms attached to one bedroom?
If you have a guest, of course.
And your own bedroom?
Well, the owner was a confirmed bachelor, and she feigned blushes. She's a great actress, apparently.
Out of curiosity, I thought this house had previously occupied and had furniture in it as well.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We had all of that taken out. It's all in storage. The man had no family to speak of. Well, we hadn't quite finished paying his house, you see. So we need to... Not that we don't have plenty of people looking at it. Yes, we're on a schedule to sell, but trust me, don't put your name on a line today. I've got several people interested in looking.
Well, I deal in antiques and curios, so if his possessions are going to be up for sale, I would really appreciate taking a look and possibly making an offer on some.
She kind of gives you a measuring look, and you as you described what she looked like, and then she looks, she will look back at your character there, Kika, and she'll look at Catherine, and she kind of gauges you for a moment and says, I tell you what, if your assistant is interested on that crap, we've actually all got it out in the storage building up back. I'd be glad to just toss it in home. All the really expensive furniture is already claimed by various people that he owed money to, but he had a lot of interesting things that, quite frankly, are going to be hard to get. So, like the house, we'll give it to you, or, make some deal on what's out there.
Let's see how interesting those are.
Yes, I think you have us confused, a little confusion here. She's the one who's really, really interested in the house. I'm interested in the crap out back.
Doesn't bat an eye. She throws you a kiss and just can dismiss that point. And
thank you.
Turns to you, Catherine. Let me show you the bedroom.
Leaving me alone with her.
It's definitely got a man's touch, but let me tell you, this man had fabulous taste. And she starts taking stairs.
How do you get this place cleaned up so fast?
What's Ellery doing? Who are you? Or not Ellery. What is, what's your name there? Eldon? Sorry.
Eldon.
It was Eldon.
Oh, it was Eldon. Eldon!
Yeah.
Who are you going with? Are you to stick with Catherine or are you going to go with Ellie?
I guess I'll stick with Catherine on the whole bodyguard premise.
Right. Okay, so as you take about the cleaning, it's like, yes, we had this fabulous crew come in. It's, as I said, it was very quick. There was, did you see the papers? She holds her breath like it might bring the value down.
I saw the bodies. Yes, I'm in
sorry.
The medical profession.
Oh, I understand. Medical profession. Oh, well, let me show you the walk-in closet. Got it.
Are you implying that I keep people in closets?
Oh, no, but someone in your field and dressing as wonderfully as you're dressed, I'm sure you have quite an extensive wardrobe. Look, it even has this little electronic thing that, moves your wardrobe around. And but the cleaning, yes. We went with this fabulous service, the Sunrise service. They're quite up and coming. I think she digs around, comes out with a card. They did a great job. I mean, you saw the bodies, right? I mean, I didn't. I just heard, but... Yeah, it was an awful mess. My assistant, she had to call in sick the next day. It was so traumatic. Actually, I should probably check on her. Anyway, let me show you this.
You can check on her now, if you like. I can wait.
Oh, would you like to walk around yourself? Oh, please do.
There's a backyard, right?
Oh, yes, look! And she put deck it over the backyard.
Okay, I'll just start wandering around the backyard and looking about while she gets away from me.
Catch the tail in the conversation. It's like, Sarah, pick up. I know you're there. You were sick yesterday. You can't be sick today. We've got a sale. We've got people on the hook. You've got to get in here. You're not going to make a percentage.
She's dead, isn't she?
Who are you saying?
I'm saying it to Mr. Bodyguard here.
Oh.
Possibly. If she comes back, we could ask about it. Pitch the angle of, could be a health risk with the house, needing further inspection. I'll be happy to take that angle for you.
We should find at least her assistant's information so we can check.
All right, so you guys are heading up back. Jack, you left the car. Dirty servant.
Yep. I guess I wander over and find out if the person who found the body was here.
Okay. Do you speak Spanish? Can you say yes or no?
Nope.
Okay.
What's so, funny is I speak Spanish.
So the first guy you come to is like, no prende, he points out to someone further along that you make your way to him. He's apparently the foreman. He speaks English. It's like, okay, yes, you're looking for work. I guess another person. Do you, what is this called? Topiary? I really need a guy.
No, I'm not looking for work. I'm looking for a worker.
Oh.
The guy who found the body here.
Oh, Manuel, yeah. Oh, ooh. He takes off his hat, wipes his sweat off. Yeah. Ooh. We've got him on light work this week. We got him just driving the truck right now. So kind of points to their van. They've got like this big truck that's got a large carry-on, kind of like a U-Haul trailer on it. And you see some guy that's kind of slumped over the steering wheel, just kind of smacking his head on the wheel slowly.
Huh. All right. Cheers. First one to go over to.
You sure you don't want a job? Okay, we don't pay great, but we pay pretty good. No, that's a lot. Okay.
They pay actual money.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to talk to Manuel, and I'm going to say, hey, how you doing?
Tap on the cab. You can hear, like, blaring, like, heavy metal music cab. He's not headbanging. He's doing the, like, kind of
smashing his head.
I feel so sick that I want to smash the sickness out of my head.
He rolls down the window, and the passenger's like, hey! Oh, what's the matter? Are you looking for work? I got the forums here somewhere.
No, I wanted to talk to you about what you saw.
Oh, yeah. Are you one of those newspaper men? Oh, man.
No, I'm not a newspaper man. I'm just a guy who helps out other people. He pulls counseling for things. You want to talk about it, etc. Basically, I'm trying to go with the reassurance. Look, there are people here to help you. If you just talk it out now, go over it. And then I'm just listening out for anything that wasn't in the report or the gadget address.
He reaches over and he unlocks the passenger side door. And as you come in, he's got a badly disguised liquor bottle and a paper bag. He takes a big gulp, wipes his lips off, and hands it to you. Says, if you want me to talk about it, I'm going to need some more of this. Want to join me?
I'll join you in the cab, but I don't do that stuff anymore.
My Martha says I should stop this too. He takes another belt and just corks it afterwards. Wipes his hand and wipes his mouth off. Says, to your counselor. I just want to forget it. It's horrible.
Sometimes it helps to talk it out. The exercises and demons.
Mr. Southampton, you know, he was pretty good to us. It's a great job on the weekends, let me tell you.
Well, what happened? I mean, up and just found him?
He's gone most weekends, and, he's a great guy. He lets us use a swimming pool over here after we're done working, doesn't mind. Heck, he usually leaves us out a few bottles of booze. He's got girls coming around all the time, too, even when he's not here. So, it's a good place to work. Came in Monday morning because I wanted to finish up some edge work before he got back. You know, he's usually gone. He usually comes back sometime Monday afternoon. I brought the trailer in and kind of looks down and says, I thought I killed him. I felt a bump under the trailer tires. I run the guy over, got out, and he's laying there in the grass. I thought for sure I'd kill him. His guts were coming out of both ends, down his pant legs. I felt sure I ran him over. Oh, heaven, father, I killed this guy. I called the police, and I was sure I was going to go to jail for life, and I didn't hit him. It wasn't the truck. What the hell makes you come out of both ends like that if you're not ran over? But yeah, he's easily shaking.
Yeah. Again.
He makes a reach for the bottle and stops himself.
You're stronger than this. You can do it without
me. I'm working. I get drunk now. I'm going to drive this truck later.
I don't think he's got anything more to say. So, yeah, I will be doing the reassuring talk with him, but there's no need to spend any time on it.
All right. Yeah, so you cheer him up, make him a better...
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry, one thing. You said Monday, but the other guy was killed on the Saturday.
To be clear, the auction was Saturday. The bodies were found Monday. The coroner's report had them dying. This body was found, but the body was found Sunday.
But they both died within 12 hours. Yeah, so they both died some point on Sunday.
Or like right after night Sunday for the second one, possibly.
But he was outside. He was found outside.
He was found outside the next morning on Monday morning.
So he was outside late at night?
He was.
Alright.
It's not too much of a stretch considering the other aspects of his lifestyle.
It isn't.
But, okay, I'll back. What are you guys doing?
I would actually like to get a look inside the shed.
Okay.
Because I'm curious.
Sure. Ellie has the key.
If I see Richard's character, I'm going to signal him over. I'm going to flag him over.
Also, I'm going to mention the assistant who seems to be mysteriously ill and unable to answer her phone to Ellie.
That's not good either.
Yeah.
So who wants to bet? Dead?
I'm willing to bet on it. You got 5.
I'll have to cover the attack.
All right, so the storage shed is kind of a misnomer, as the shed is as big as a normal-sized house. It's got a key lock on the outside. It's got a digital touchpad, too, although it seems a key is enough to open it up. It's got rolling, kind of like warehouse doors that roll up once you turn the key, and the key is apparently to some alarm system, and the keypad itself has just been left open. Similar to the other guy's garage, but this place has many more shelves, it's much more room to store things, and it's climate controlled, as the AC kicks on from the outside, enters.
I think we should close the door behind us and get out of the heat.
I agree.
As long as it doesn't shut on us, trapping us all inside. Sounds good.
Okay. This is the good stuff. Apparently the crap you saw, the guy stuff, was already out, discarded. So what you see here, this is all, I mean, some of it's more modern, but it was done, very well, crafted very well, instead of being like machine made. A lot of it is older. Your art history there, Richard will tell you that this, you're looking at a collection, this is million and a quarter.
Whew.
Of course, it's like an $8 million home.
Rich from my blood.
Come on, I'll history it up.
Yeah.
If we cheer him on, does he get a bonus?
Okay, does it, does anything look like it might have been part of or a...
It is organized versus the other guys. So it's organized by the Afrin region. Actually, it's not just all Afrin. He's got some stuff all over the
region. So I can go anthropology on it?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, but still, I want to find something that looks similar to something or possibly part of a set that Meacham had.
You found a similar set to the items that Jack had previously picked out as being worth some money in the other collection. There are more items like it here. It's on a shelf of other African religious significant items. And he has his broken up by tribe and region.
So can we tell what's actually missing? What he saw?
How would you go about that? Because there's not, like, empty spots on the shelf or anything.
That's what I would do. I got nothing.
Well, is there anything, like, I know some...
Is there an index?
Well, not necessarily index or something that might have been, like you know, one of the pair, but the mate isn't near it. Something that's usually sold in, say, pairs or triplets, or made in pairs and triplets.
With this kind of stuff, it's really hard to tell. Art history guy, Jack, I mean, same thing. I mean, you know, these are items with significance, but they're not really parts of sets or anything. A person could collect, you know, different artifacts revolving around, say, the same goddess, but it's not like it's a defined set of 5 or a set of 4. It's nothing like that.
No. What I'm saying is that, like, if it's, like, I don't know, say, like, if you were to go into the area and you normally find, the group would have a representation of a pair goddess, like a god and a god or something.
I got you.
And if Meacham had the god, but didn't have the goddess, and the goddess were here. That kind of stuff.
Sure, cult rating.
1.
Not schooled enough to find.
Would anthropology help?
In this system, meaning it's not a major clue. Anthropology? No, your anthropology will just let you know the ethnic background around what time this existed, but it's not really going to tell you anything more about the religion side of it. That's more of the purview of a cult. Now, if somebody wants to do a spend on a cult, I mean, once again, the fact that you're not getting anything, it's not a major clue, but if someone wants to make a spend, I can use some more background information, but it's not specific to figuring out these.
Well, maybe there are some other items here that could have affected him that the other guy came over and looked at and messed with.
You guys going to just do a basic once-over then?
I guess
also, if he has an index or a ledger, since there's a check made out to possibly there's like a ledger listing what was sold.
Mm-hmm. There is a ledger of sorts here. Basically, it's assigned lots and numbers. It's like lot number XX bought at auction on this day, and then there's another number which might be a check number sequence. Hard to tell. It could be just an item number reference. It's all logged into the big leather-bound book that you find on the table. And just to save some time, you do find an entry for the store and go. And it seems like he bought several. He spent about $1,300 there.
Oh, fun fact. Same people that cleaned this place cleaned the other place, too.
I picked that one up. Spent about $1,300 at the store and go. On what day?
Saturday.
And go. Okay. Does it list the lot number of what he might have bought?
Just does. Well, at least there's an entry that says lot number, and it gives a number. That could be his own, or that could be Store and Go's. Don't really know.
And is there a receipt anywhere from Store and Go? All right. Okay. Well, just out of giggles, I'm going to try to do an internet search on Store and Go using that lot number.
Okay. Good enough. Easily done. It was a particular storage facility on the Store and Go lot. It was up for auction, and it sold for the $1,300.
Okay, but it doesn't list what might have been
nope.
in it.
These lots are always sold blind. If you've ever been to one of these auctions, they open the doors, you've got like 20 minutes to look inside, and then you start bidding.
Okay. Yeah.
And they both were at the Store and Go.
Well, it looks like Southampton bought the lot and then sold half of it to Meacham.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking. Well, so did they each get half of something that was coming out? So if we look here at the stuff, is there anything that we saw at the other place?
Yeah, I pointed out that there were a couple of similar statues.
But they're not. Yeah, no, you did the godless ask.
Yeah.
And I also pointed out that he has already tossed the junk. So yeah. I mean, this is only good stuff.
The other guy had most junk with some good stuff, so perhaps we should look at the junk just to be thorough. Where would the junk have gone?
About that time,
dumpster.
The realtor comes back. Finally got a hold of that silly assistant of mine. Apparently she forgot me to showing. But she looks around as everyone's collected here. Says, so I get the idea you're more interested in his collection than the house. Well, it's all for sale. The appraiser hasn't come out yet, and she picks up just casually picks up a piece that Jack knows probably is worth about $2,000, and she just kind of hefts it in her hand, tosses it up. This crap couldn't be worth all that much, and she just kind of jarringly puts it back on the shelf.
I'll give you $50 for that one.
Are you kidding? My client had toothpicks here were more than $2. She looks around. She says, I'll tell you what, not worth much, but worth more than that. She looks around and says, I tell you what, you can get all of this stuff off premises. Oh, I'll get to you this weekend. I'll sell it for you for, she looks around, she says, 20, and then she looks at your face and says, 50,000.
But look.
I give her a look, lower my eyeglasses, and basically, do I really look that just like I fell off the bus?
Yes.
We both, is that what you say?
Yes.
Wow.
Just, look, I can get local thrift shops to come down and take all this off, and I can get a nice tax write-off for it. $50,000, surely it's worth that.
Well, I tell you what, we'll have our appraisers come down and make a formal appraisal, and if it pans out, $1,000, yeah, I think we can do that.
Fine, but I give you till this weekend, otherwise it's all going to Goodwill. And she picks up another piece that's kind of like a very artsy, demonic kind of nature spirit. She just kind of grimaces at it and says, the crap that people collect.
Yes, she just tosses it. Things, but remember one person's crap is another person's treasure.
I suppose. Well, if you're not interested in the house, and she puts on a big fake smile, like, have a good day. You have my business card if you reconsider. Really, I don't think you gave it a try. I mean, you didn't even see guest bedrooms, but
I saw enough.
And she spins on her and turns back around and says, oh, the key, please. You close up when you have your assayers contact me. We'll figure something out. It's just end of the week. I assume you give her the keys back.
Well, I give her a key, not the one she gave me back.
Oh, swift. Okay, so something that looks kind of similar, she doesn't.
Yeah.
She just had like a pocket full of random keys.
I tell you what, an ability roll on this, because it had a distinctive key fob on the end of it, so you're going to need kind of like a sleight of hand sort of thing to switch it out, so give me a filch roll. This is not a 50-50 shot. 4, 5, or 6 will make it. If you've got any points in filch, you can spend it ahead
gonna
of time.
I'm going to spend, now if I spend 1 point, that gives
It'll
me a
give you
3, 4.
One. Yeah, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, I'm going to spend 2 points.
Ooh, okay.
So let me find die roll. Okay, I rolled a 2.
Good enough. Okay, yeah, you're able to do a little sleight of hand, clip it onto some unimportant key that you have, and she doesn't, she sees the fob and doesn't take a second at it. Just, she's not rude to you, but she's obviously dumb as she walks out.
Okay.
I give everybody the excited thumbs up.
You've caught your precious, precious item from shattering on the ground.
No, I'm not a particularly nice person. I'll just answer that right now.
All right, so you have a few more leads. We'll follow up on next.
Did she say if her assistant's coming by?
Oh, she said she had contacted her assistant.
So,
apparently she talked to her assistant.
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the stop and go to see who originally...
Well, her assistant's number might be on the card she gave me.
Matter of fact, it is.
So we can, like, call her and verify while we're on the way to the storage place.
So we're going to the storage place rather than the cleaners.
We could split up. I don't know.
Yeah, generally better to stick together, just in case.
Yeah, or else, you know, your warrior wanders off and then the rest of the party just ends up blowing up an entire town.
I didn't post it, but one of the rules of the Ordo is that try not to split up because you never know when one of you might be brainwashed or replaced with a doppelganger.
So, anybody got any preferences? Stop and go or sunlight links?
Well, we can roll for it.
I'm asking you to, which in your professional investigating type opinion, which is better?
Not what time of day is it? Doctor.
What time of day is it right now?
This is getting towards late afternoon, say 4 o'clock.
4 p.m., let's go to Sunrise Cleaners first, because they're more likely to close at about 5. Those storage lockers tend to be open a little later.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Joshua Sheck, are you still trailing around behind us looking for evil ninjas that may come out? Yes, yes, you are. Okay. Sunrise Cleaner. It's kind of sitting alone on a lot. It's got a kind of fenced-in auto pool. There are several tricked-out white vans that have all kinds of, like, ladders and cleaning brushes and high-powered hoses attached to them. The central office is actually quite small. It's, like, the size of a small outbuilding, almost. It actually has a drive-thru area. There's somebody there with a headset on, kind of talking. There's a car that's pulled up now. They're doing some transaction. What do you want to do? Pull up? Park?
Let's just park.
Yeah, I think it's better.
Let's just park.
Yep. It's easier to intimidate people when you're not in a car, unless you're trying to run them over.
Go on over the door. It's got an open sign on it. Close their hours. Get here just 1 hour before they're about to close, or at least before the office is closed.
Cool. Right, well, go on in and see.
It's cozy. This is basically the size of, an average-sized living room. Everything, there's stand-up desks, there's a few potted plants hanging in the ceilings, but it's definitely for people that don't spend a lot of time there. Currently, there's only one guy here. He's got a telephone headset on. He's just hanging up with somebody. He turns around and says, Sunrise Cleaners, what can I do for you folks? Looks around, and he's going to make a wild, stabbing guess. He says, let me guess, family member died in house. No?
No.
No?
Yeah. Well, kind of. We're looking at the people. Do you have only one set of cleaners?
Oh, no, we've got this. The office isn't much, I know. It's because we're always on the go. You know, we're always doing money, always doing business. We've got several guys out on a call right now. I just kind of man in my office.
Hey, all right. Where?
Cool.
We're looking for
That
did these jobs.
Oh yeah, the
two addresses.
I'm really sorry if all of our guys are professionally bonded. If something went missing in your household, you know, hey, no problem. We'll figure out what went on. Very professional about these things. Goes to his computer and says, "Yeah, let me bring up the case files. What were the addresses?"
I give them to him.
okay. He looks at it and says, ooh, yeah, ooh, oh, yeah, those are, ooh, messy. Yeah, you had to charge double for those. Two sets of guys, pool one and pool five. Pull up the records here. Yeah, here we go. Runs off the printer. Hands it off to you. Each set was four guys, and it's got billable hours. Each place took roughly 4 hours, and there's a couple of codes on there. It says, yeah, you'll see the price was so high, you know, those codes right here, that code right there just means that, well, there was a significant amount of blood, and, you know, because of the HIPAA things we've got to do, and the hazardous waste disposal, and we had to charge for all that. You know, if you want to discuss the bill, you know, those charges are kind of locked in. There's not a lot I can do about it. Looks pretty hopeful, like you're not going to argue this.
What other places got charged extra for these sorts of services recently?
Yeah, basically, anything that's got a lot of... The only thing we got to do hazardous waste disposal, which is going to be your blood, your guts, your brains. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the lady presence. You know, places that we got to have special handling gear. You know, where the counter suits and we got to dispose of and incinerate it in medical waste. That all cost extra.
I meant more along the lines of addresses.
Oh, well... I can't just, you know, give out an information. We're not, you know, publicly. You know, I can't give that stuff out. I assume you guys
Yes,
were.
You can.
No, no, I really can't, lady.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to intimidate him to giving away that address.
All right, well, how are you doing the intimidating to say, yes, you can? No, no, I can't.
I walk up to him. I pull my PI license, fake name out very quickly, flash it in front of his face, put it back in pocket, and said, this is a very important matter. We need those addresses.
Hey, what's your rating in intimidating?
A one.
All right, no, it's a. Can
I help?
Oh, it's an investigation. Oh, do you have intimidation? Whoever's helping.
Yes.
Okay. The way that helping works is you can spend pool points, and for every point you spend above the first one, kind of adds or a bonus. But you don't really have to do it in this when you're
okay.
Using investigations. But that's how the works in here.
Oh, private investigators. You know, let it never be said that I try and... hell with it. Yeah, we get you guys in here so often. Which deadbeat is it you want to look up?
Yeah, I assume this has to do with money, right? It's always about money. Somebody's not getting their due. Some freaking relative's coming out of the woodwork.
Pretty much ones similar to the last two that have happened in the
Lady, this is Seattle. I mean, I got... You know, we handle, you know, PD cases too, right? We clean up after CSI guys. I gotta have at least,
pops in here,
I got 23 this week.
Ignoring the ones that the police clean handle themselves.
Oh, okay, we'll filter those out. And we got your two stiffs, and we got a really bad,
it looks like some guy was running some illegal dog fighting, and we had to, that was nasty. That's it. Yeah, he shows you the screen, so he's like,
I'm not hiding anything. I help do my civic duty.
I just roll my eyes.
Oh, come on, lady. You know, this is a nasty business. I gotta drum up support where I can. Pass out some of her cards? Come on.
I will take one of his cards.
All right.
You know, if you give out a referral there, I'll do a 10% off of, you mention your name. Your name was,
His.
He's talking to Ellie. You give your real name, or are you saying to him?
No, I'll be in touch.
right, you are.
DDIs. I
should probably question him more.
Oh, he's still here. You want to ask him.
So, did anybody on any of the two teams, either of them phone in sick?
Let's see, you've got the list there. It's like, nope! He looks over the list where it says, we've been grinding this week. We got guys going out all the time. These guys, it's my best workers. I put them in some of the worst scenes. These are the guys that don't lose their lunch. You know, that is as a prime requisite for this job. You gotta have an iron stomach.
Looking at those lists, is there any name that appears on both of the lists?
No, they were two separates.
Okay.
No, my guys, they get tested once every 6 months to make sure they don't got that, the TB, the whatevers to pick up from this stuff. My guys are clean. Cool records on file. If you need to get a warrant for any of that, you're going to need a warrant for that, lady. I got them.
All right. You definitely have your stuff squared away here. That's very nice.
Well, you know, I see a lot of police and lawyers around here. Bastards.
That's not very nice.
Get your money where you get your money. No, you don't gotta like him.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, he's pretty much exhausted, but he'll tell you that his guys are fine.
Yeah, I don't think we're going
to. Look at the storage lockers.
I guess there's
nothing else.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, BLUMAGIK.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes, or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.
It is a center for higher learning. It is a place with centuries of secrets in its shadowed halls. This is where you have come to learn the mysteries of the cosmos. We are pleased to present the Miskatonic University Podcast. On our campus, you will learn the deepest secrets of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. From rules mechanics to beings of the mythos and insanities that plague men's minds. Join us at www.mu-podcast.com.